friendship's sweeter. Knowing you're near, it's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Mark chapter 4, verse 26. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, May 4th, 2026. Today, Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church will walk us through Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 34, the parable of the growing seed. Here's Pastor Jason Epperson.
So as you look at this passage today, I want to ask you a question. Do you ever feel alone? Do you feel alone in a job? Do you feel alone in your singleness? Do you feel alone in your marriage? Do you feel alone in your college class? Do you feel alone in a sport? Do you feel alone with a passion or whatever? Or like one way you can tell you feel alone is you even see something on the news and you're angry about it and you don't understand why anybody else isn't angry. It's like you feel alone in your disgust. You can feel alone in your excitement. But I want you to know in this room that all of us have moments in our day or moments in our week where at times we can feel what? Alone. And that's no different than in this time in history. And so when Jesus is giving these parables, don't forget, are like physical stories, like stories in nature that have a physical meaning, but also have a spiritual meaning. And so in this passage today, it's two different parables that kind of give us life lessons through physical things in this world. Like a small parable that we've talked about before is the scattering of the seed. When the seed falls on concrete, it doesn't grow. Birds eat it. When the seed falls on rocky soil, it grows up quick. And then what happens? It dies. When the seed falls on good soil with lots of weeds, eventually the weeds choke it out. And if the seed falls on good soil and there's no weeds, it grows like crazy. Like literally you could go to FFA class and they would teach you the same thing. Does that make sense? It's real. But the purpose of those things is your spiritual well-being. It's not we need to buy a new weed eater. Like, does that make sense? And so today it's similar in this passage. But I want you to know that he's giving this story to a group of people that this is what's about to happen. There's thousands and thousands of people right now that are chasing after Jesus. They don't really know what they're chasing after, but they really like him. They really are excited. They want an earthly kingdom. They see what Jesus is doing for them, which lots of us in this room, when you first come to know Jesus, it's like, man, look what he's done for me. And I get it. And so as Jesus is telling them this, he knows in the future here really quick that he's about to go to a cross, he's going to die on a cross, he's going to raise from the dead, and then he's going to go into heaven, and he's going to send the Holy Spirit, which is greater than his presence being here physically. But he also knows at times, these same people are going to feel what? Alone. See, right now, there's a bunch of apostles hanging out together, men, women hanging out. There's hundreds of people around Jesus all the time, and you don't feel alone in chasing after Jesus when you're surrounded by a room full of people. But he knows there's going to come a day when Peter goes to Rome and he brings one other dude with him and he's going to be persecuted. He's going to be thrown into prison. He's going to be all these things and he's going to feel alone. He needs to tell Peter a true parable, a true spiritual story that's going to allow him in the moment to realize, Peter, you're not alone. He knows he can see in the future and he can see Paul in a prison all by himself, wondering if anything else is happening in the world. There was no cell phone to figure out what was happening. And he thought he would feel alone. And he knew that he needed Peter to know, he needed Paul to know that this kingdom that you're about a part of, this kingdom that is growing, is not just growing where you're sitting. You're not alone in it. It's bigger than you. It's the same for his brother James. When James is standing on top of the temple and they're threatening him with his life. And in that moment for James to know, it's not just me in this moment in Jerusalem. It's people all over the world that are giving their lives for the sake of the gospel. Like, I don't know about you, but I love being a part of something that's bigger than myself. It's Thomas who ends up in India. It's Matthew who ends up in Ethiopia. They were surrounded by each other, but eventually they were going to be on their own. And we come into this place today, we're surrounded by each other. And it is encouraging to me to see familiar faces. It's encouraging to me to see faces I haven't seen in a while. It's encouraging for me to see people because it like I don't feel alone in the journey. But there's going to come a time in my week when I am alone. And the Spirit of God is who rests in me and I'm not alone with him. But the reality is it's good for me to know, guess what? There's a kingdom that's greater than me. And it doesn't stop. That's what he's talking about here. And he said the kingdom of God as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. And it says this, the earth produces by itself. I need to define the kingdom of God very quick. It's in a parable. I'll do it really quick just so you know. The kingdom of God was birthed at the birth of Jesus. It was inaugurated. It started at the birth of Jesus. So when the king arrived on earth, guess what? The kingdom of God was what? Born. What does a kingdom need? A king and a kingdom need citizens. When the shepherds showed up, they became the first worshipers. The kingdom of God was born, okay? Then we see this inauguration take place. It's like a wedding. It's the moment when my wife walked down the aisle. I'm thinking, hope she doesn't change her mind. Wow, she looks pretty. Hope she looks at something besides me. Like, I'm just thinking, like, how are we going to make this happen? She gets up there. Our marriage was inaugurated when we both said I do, and I kissed her on the lips for the very first time. That's not true. That's a lie. I couldn't keep her hands off me, y'all. We had to speed up that wedding. It was crazy. I mean, who can blame her, though, really? I mean, let's just be honest. And so, but our marriage, like it was inaugurated. Like, it was inaugurated at the wedding. Jesus' birth was the inauguration, was the beginning of the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus on earth, if you read the New Testament, which I want you to read, he'll say the kingdom of God is here, and he also says the kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is in our past, y'all. The kingdom of God is in our present. And hear me say this, the kingdom of God is still coming. And so his whole ministry, the kingdom of God is coming, the kingdom of God is coming, the kingdom of God is coming, but also the kingdom of God is here. And so this whole moment, and the kingdom of God is consummated, it is fulfilled, it ends when he comes back, and every knee bows in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confesses. And in that moment, we are made whole again. Creation is restored. He gets his family back. You tracking? It's just like in a wedding. A wedding is inaugurated at the moment when you say, I do. It's consummated that night. And the consummation is greater than the inauguration. It is. And so in this journey right now, we're at the wedding party eating wings or nuts or cake that's decent. But when we say kingdom of God, I want you to know that's what we're talking about here. It's past, it's present, and it's what? It's future. So the kingdom of God is a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. So God throws out this seed. Jesus is the main character, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. He knows not, like, how did CU Church, like, how did this happen? I don't know. Man, their strategy must have been, it wasn't. But it says these words, the earth produces by itself. There's a phrase there that me and Clark were talking about this week, and Matt told me that it's only used one other time in Scripture, and where it's used is in Acts chapter 12, and it's where the word automatic comes from. In Acts chapter 12, the same phrase is used. So it says the earth produces it by itself, means you throw a dormant or dead seed into the ground, and then all of a sudden, boom. How does that happen? I don't know. It does. Peter's in prison. James has just been killed by Herod. This is the story. This is in Acts chapter 12. You should read it on your own. James has just been killed. James, the brother of John. Peter's in prison. He imprisons Peter because the Jews got excited because they killed James. And Herod's like, man, if they're getting excited for me killing these dudes, let me round up Peter. I'll kill him next. Peter finds himself in prison praying he'll be released. All the people outside, the Christians just like us, are praying for what? Peter's release. In Acts chapter 12, it tells us that an angel of the Lord shows up in prison and says, hey, Peter, let's roll. We out. And Peter's like, what? I don't know what's going on. He's like, hey, just follow me. And so the angel of the Lord starts walking him out. They walk by the jailers and they walk up to a door. And it says in the scripture that the door opened automatically. It's the same phrase as the earth produces by itself. The door opened, then they went to another door, and it opened, and the whole time, Peter is thinking like he's having a vision, he's having a dream. This isn't really happening. Why do I share that with you? Is God does things in your life with the amount of faith that you need for him to do it is the amount of faith to ask him the question. It's not that Peter had the 411 on, well, God's going to open up all these doors. Peter finds himself in the middle of the street. The angel of the Lord walks away. He is set free because God did it. Then Peter knocks on John Mark's house and Rhoda comes to the door and everyone inside is doing what? They're praying together. Let's pray that Peter is released. Let's pray that we're saved because they're killing Christians. Peter's in prison. Let Peter go. Let Peter go. Let Peter go. Peter knocks on the door. Rhoda runs to it. She hears his voice, runs back in. Hey, it's Peter at the door. I say, hey, Peter's not at the door. We're praying that he's released from prison. Do you see what's happening here? Why am I sharing this part of the story with you? Because within the kingdom of God, sometimes we think that the only time major kingdom things happen or major miracles happen is because someone has more faith than you. No, 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 no. The door is opened automatically because God opens the door. He didn't save James the day before. He did save Peter. I don't understand the miraculous works of God. I don't understand his workmanship. I say that a lot here. But we are going to declare his works. So in your life and in my life, do we see things that happen automatically? Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. I had the opportunity to go to a place in the world. That's how I have to phrase it today because this one's going to be online. A place in the world that the underground church is really present. When I was there, I got to meet with a missionary that had been there for a long time, and they were there and they had been reaching out to people and sharing the good news of Jesus. It was a risky place to be, but they were there. And as they were doing it, they were super discouraged. It was super hot outside. We're meeting outside and we're sitting on those cheap plastic chairs that they have everywhere in the world. And I remember sitting on these chairs drinking warm water. And I remember talking with them and just their discouragement. And I was praying with them and praying with them and praying with them. And they were just like, why are you here? I was like, well, I've been challenging people to go to the hardest places in the world. And I thought that maybe the people that had left to do it, I should go say, you're awesome, and encourage them. And so I'm there and I'm with them. And then I jump in this car and I hear the discouragement in their voice of being kingdom workers that have never really seen anyone in their 20 years of being in that place come to know Jesus. They don't see anyone around them following Jesus. And then I drove across town, and it was dark, and I walked into another neighborhood. And in that neighborhood was a group of people that used to be radical Islamic terrorists who all love Jesus. And I sat in a circle, and I heard their stories, and I heard their worship. I met hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, a part of the underground church, in a 4-day period of time. And they didn't want to tell this couple what was happening because they feared for their lives if they knew what was happening in the city. But because they were there, because they were praying, because they were loving, because they were serving, the kingdom of God was growing around them. And they'll only see the fruit someday in heaven. Hey, family, it's growing in your workplace. It's growing in your family. It's growing in your school. It's growing in your job. It's growing. If we will be the gospel, I promise you the things around you will find life. So don't be discouraged doing good. Don't be discouraged representing the King. Just because you can't see it, don't mean it ain't. That's the phrase I say all the time. Just because I can't see it, don't mean it ain't happening. Just because I've been meeting with this same group of people for so many, don't mean it's not happening. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Growth is a journey. All of us in this room are in different moments in our journey. But guess what? Until the harvester comes, until Jesus comes, the journey's not over. Do not think the moment you gave your life to Christ, the journey's over. Do not think the day that you walked up on a stage and preached your first sermon, the journey was over. Do not think that you were created for this one moment. There's not a moment after. Now hear me say, the moment you were created for is the moment that you're in. Don't stress that. Then it goes on and says this. And he said, with what can compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? If it is like a grain of mustard seed, which is sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants. So what it's saying is, imagine Jesus standing outside in Israel, and he's hanging out in Israel. And as he's hanging out, he looks around and he sees this invasive plant, invasive bush that it's everywhere. They keep cutting it down and it keeps what? Coming back. If anyone's had a yard at some point, you cut it down, it keeps coming back. You cut it down, it keeps coming back. You can even pull things out by the root, but the root system of it might be greater than what you think, and it keeps coming back. That is the kingdom of God. What he's saying is it starts with something very small. It starts with the faith of a child. It starts with the faith of a person in their 90s that comes to know Jesus and starts loving the people around. It starts with the faith of a student. It starts with the faith of a mom, a dad. It starts with just this moment of oh. And then all of a sudden around it, this just starts to grow. Sometimes you can't see it, but it doesn't mean it's not growing. I think it's interesting that invasive is the word that would be used for kingdom growth. And just imagine Rome in a Jewish nation You've got Jesus and a group of people, and all of a sudden, Jesus and this group of people are like, they think, let's kill Jesus because we don't want this to grow. So they kill Jesus, and what happens? Y'all, it grows. And then they're like, okay, we killed Jesus and it grows, but like now we just need to kill all the leaders of it. So they kill 10 of the 11 apostles. And it what? It grows. And one of the fastest times in history that Christianity grew was the season where more Christians were dying daily for their faith. You can't stop it. Family, you're a part of that. Like, I don't know what's in front of us. I don't know. But I'm telling you this. The kingdom of God, you ain't stopping it. He goes on and says these words. And I'm going to read this. And he said, what can compare to the kingdom of God or what the parable shall we use it for? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which is sown in the ground, the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants. Then it says, and puts out large branches so the birds of the air can make their nests in the shade. This birds of the air is not Satan swooping down. I don't believe it. The birds of the air is talking about the nations of the world. This is what I mean. In this room right now, when we put our money in that black offering bin, this is what happens. There is people in South Korea that we are partnering with that have houses that North Korean refugees, when they escape North Korea, guess what? They have a place to stay, to find Jesus, to be counseled, and to be restored. The birds of the air are resting on the branches of the kingdom of God. It's the same thing. Like, why did God bring us this dude named Waqil who was living in Afghanistan in Kabul, and we started planting churches 9 years ago in Kabul when the Taliban wasn't in charge and where the U.S. presence was there, and there was tons and tons of churches that were popping up, and the kingdom of God was growing like crazy, and we keep investing. And then what happens? We leave, Taliban comes back in, Christians are scattered everywhere. But guess what? The resources you put in those black bins serves people in Afghanistan, it also serves people in Tajikistan. Why? Because the king, you can't stop the kingdom, y'all. It's the same thing that's going on right now. When the crisis breaks out in Russia and Ukraine, it's like, what are we like? We feel alone. It's like, well, how can I help this? Well, we are helping this. Because of your tithes and offerings, guess what? We have a refugee center on the border of Ukraine and Poland. The Ukrainian refugees are coming to, finding ministry, finding solace, and then we're connecting the churches all over Poland. It's the same thing in Sudan. What's happening in Sudan? Well, how can I help what's happening in Sudan? There's more people dying there than anywhere else in the world, and no one ever talks about it. What's happening in Nigeria right now? The persecuted church in Nigeria. What can we do? Well, guess what? We have people in Sudan that you guys are helping resource, and we have people in Nigeria that you're helping resource. Like, y'all, you're a part of a tree that is so much greater than yourself. So stop feeling, stop thinking, I wish I could do something. You're a part of something. By your tithes, by your offerings, by your prayers, hear me say this, the world is being transformed around you, but you can't see it when all you do is look at yourself. It's the same in the crisis right now, and it's happening in the Middle East. We have projects in Egypt that we are funding. We have projects that we're working with Palestinians, with Jewish people, with Iran. Like, we have people in Greece right now that people are fleeing Iran and they're coming into Greece. People are like, y'all, we have places all over the world that we get to be a part of, that God has like given us relationships with people. We have people that work with people that are being trafficked. We have like, listen, y'all, all over the world, God's branches, the kingdom of God is so much greater than any of our, like our single tree of CU church. Man, look what God's, yeah, God's doing cool stuff here, but it doesn't even compare to what he's doing globally, and we get to be a part of it. There's two things that transcend time and space, your prayers and your money. Isn't that crazy? And it's like one of my favorite things all week is when I get to pray for the global church. You know, another one of my favorite things to do every single week is when I get to put money in an offering bin and know that my resources go to change the world. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them. And as they, like, I love the one for one. I love it. Like, I love it. Like, I was a part, like, I actually was a, I know the people that started it, actually. I love the one for one. And I'm so glad we do it, and we're always going to do it. But hear me say this, the one for one is a sliver of the hope that this body of believers is a part of offering the world. Like, you're around town, you hear about, man, like the one for one, this church is one, it's, I'm so excited about it. But hear me say this, it is a sliver of the kingdom work that God is doing in our midst around the world. It goes on and says this, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them, and they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is what I'll tell you about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about life. Like when you're kingdom workers and I'm a kingdom worker and we love Jesus together, it's like literally what you have in you is life. It's not just life for the moment, it's life for all eternity. Like life is placed, when you give your life to Christ, life is placed in you and you become an agent of life. You become life through generosity. You become life through faithfulness. You become life through service. You become life through love. You become life through like encouraging people. You become life through serving and being a part of pulling up down the street and just saying hi. Like the life that you have inside of you is so incredible. The life we offer people all over the world is like, hear me say this. We are agents of life. Does the world look at the church as agents of life? It's because we feel alone. And so we complain about the things we feel like we're not a part of changing. But hear me say this. The world is being transformed around you because of your prayers, because of the kingdom of God you're a part of. We are a part of a kingdom of life. But don't miss this next statement. But in order to be a part of a kingdom of life, it is marked by death. We are a part of a kingdom of life. It gives life to the University of Illinois. It gives life to Edison and Jefferson and Urbana and Centennial and Central. It gives life to all the schools in our surrounding areas. It gives life to your workplace. It gives life to a homeless shelter. It gives life to single moms. It gives life to the most prominent people in our city. It gives life to the people that can't like even afford a meal. We are part of a kingdom of life. But in order for a seed to breed life, it starts with death. It is something dead that is placed in the ground that God grows. For whoever wishes to gain his life will lose it, but whoever wishes to lose his life for my sake will find it. This kingdom that we're a part of, when I die to me, God reigns over me. And because of that, the kingdom grows around me. What am I doing to grow it? It's automatic, y'all. But if you take a seed that's alive, it served its purpose. When you take a dormant seed and you put it in the dirt, it brings a yield so much greater than itself.
Amen and amen and amen. It reminds me of a number of things out of John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Oh, dear friend, Jesus is calling us to bear fruit by remaining in him, allowing him to work in and through us. You were hearing a message by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church, preached a week ago Sunday. And if you want to hear this broadcast, pass it on to a friend or listen to it again. Stop by greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. I hope to see some of you today between 1 and 4 o'clock at Maranatha Church in Decatur as I get to speak on the seven mountains of influence and talking about how radio and media touches lives for God's glory. Find out more at unitedprayerfordecatur.com. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.